I want to thank Seth for suggesting this topic. We should spend time learning Avos Be'ian in this framework over the course of these weeks. When I was a teenager in Camp Oshraga, which is a learning camp in the Catskills, that was shaped very much by Yaakov Kamenetsky. So he had passed away many years before, but they used to tell us that over the summer, that Rabbi Yaakov would walk in when he was alive in camp to the Beis Medrash on Shabbos afternoon, and he always wanted to find where the Gemaras were, that the shelf that had the Avodah Zarah volumes were empty. And he would complain to guys if all the Avodah Zarah were on the shelf on Shabbos afternoon, because it's Shabbos afternoon, the old minig is you learn Pirkei Avos over the course of the summer. And he said, for Bnei Yeshiva, it doesn't mean that you take out a city, just read the Mishnayos. Bnei Yeshiva means to learn Avos over the summer, means to learn Avos Be'in. So you take Avodah Zarah off the shelf, and a Shas Gemara, so in the back of Avodah Zarah, that you have Avos. Avos not with Baratunah, but Avos with Rishonim. Rashi, Rambam, Ben Yonah said, Bnei Yeshiva learn Pirkei Avos, you'll learn it thoroughly. So hopefully we're going to have the chance of this framework to learn the Mishnayos thoroughly, and every week to pick one or two Mishnayos and to really have a chance to dig in to see some of what the Rishonim have to share with us. I think over the last 2 years or so, this series has picked up a particular focus on Rambam. So we definitely will be seeing the Rambam, though perhaps not exclusively the Rambam's Pirish on Mishnayos. Let's take a look at this Mishnah. Just a bibliographical note as you open Mishnayos, should just know that different sets of Mishnayos have the Mishnayos broken up in different ways. So the numbers don't always correspond. The numbers that I was using were the numbers in the standard Sidurim. If you're looking at the Kafach edition like I am, so instead of Mishnah Yud Zayin, it's Mishnah Tes Zayin. But the Mishnayos in the first parak teach us both content and format. The Mishnayos in the first parak in particular, Pirkei Avos, the opening Mishnah starts by describing the Seder HaKabbalah, talking about the Masorah of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh from Moshe to Yeshua throughout the period of the Bayis Rishon to the Anshei Knesset Gadol, the beginning of the period of the Bayis Sheni. And that's the first Mishnah. And then the Mishnayos takes thread through, chronologically, through the leadership of Klal Yisrael during the period of the Bayis Sheni and beyond. So you have the Nasi and the Avezin throughout the period of the Bayis Sheni, the Shimon ben Shetach and Antignos, and then the Zugos, the pairs, Yosef ben Yoezi, Yosef ben Yochanan, and so on and so forth, throughout the generations, up until the point, Mishnah Yud Beis, or in your other edition, the name Mishnah Yud Gimel, Yud Hillel v'Shammai Kiblu Mehem. Hillel and Shammai were the primary Bali Masor of their generation, and they were the leaders of Sanhedrin, the Nasi and Avezin. They were Talmidim, the previous generation, Shemaiah and Avtalion. And at this point, there's an important shift, because Hillel is a Nasi, and from this point on, with perhaps one or two exceptions, for the next 400 or so years, the Nasius of the Sanhedrin would be in the dynasty of Hillel, and actually would continue. Hillel's, the rest of the parak from this point on tracks the descendants of Hillel. They alternate names between Gamliel and Shimon for a couple of generations. Ram Gamliel, Rishim Gamliel, and another Ram Gamliel, another Rishim, and then finally makes his way to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who is the compiler of Mishnayos, and he opens up the second parak. And the beginning of the second parak is Yehuda HaNasi and his son Rabbi Gamliel. And after that point, we move away from this chronological thread of the Nasius of the Sanhedrin. But the generations in the Nasiim continue for another couple of generations until Hillel HaSheni, the great-great-great-great-grandson of Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken is the famous Hillel. Hillel HaSheni was the last Nasi of the Sanhedrin. And he's the one who turns out the lights. He's the one who sets up the... We recognize that because Romans had succeeded in ending the Smicha, he was going to be the last president of a Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael. And he's the one who shifted the calendar from Alpi Hariyah to Alpi Hecheshbon, from a calendar that's based on Edom, the calendar that we have, the mathematical calendar. So we find ourselves here in looking in Mishnah Yud Zayin in the middle of this historical progression, in the middle of tracing the chain of the Nesias of the Sanhedrin, the presidency of the Sanhedrin, to Shimon Beno, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Shimon the son of Rabbi Gamliel, who in turn had been the son of Hillel. So what does he say? Shimon Beno Omer, Kol Yamai Gadalti Ben HaChachamim, says, I've lived my life, I've grown up among Temei Chachamim, among wise people, and what I've discovered is L'matzasi L'guf El Ashtika. What I've found best for a body is quiet. Lo HaMedrash Hu HaIkar El HaMasa. The main thing is not Medrash, is not teaching, but Masa, but acting. L'chol HaMar B'dvarim Mevi Chet. And if you're marbe dvarim, if you have many words, maybe chet, you bring sin. So it sounds like he has one theme. The theme is it's worth speaking less than doing more. One wonders, as Rabbeinu Bechaya puts it, number one, is this necessarily true? It's always better to be quiet. Speaking is inherently bad. You're always better speaking less rather than more. Is all speech bad? That's number one. The opening line, L'matzasi laguf tov el ashtika. That sounds very comprehensive. So why am I speaking? Just record a silence here. What does he mean? And number two, the settler question Reb Mechaya also seems to raise is it seems like there's a lot of repetition or different flavors of the same idea. He already said that shtika is important. Shtika is the best. The one good, it sounds like, is not to speak. So then it's obvious that it's better to act than to, better to do than to speak. And call Marba Dvar Mevi Chet. So how do all the pieces of the Mishnah fit together? So I want to take a look at the way the Rambam, in general, the Rambam is lengthier. In Pirkei Avos, in general, is lengthier per Mishnah than a typical Masechta. And this Mishnah in particular, he has a lot to say. The reason why we're going to dive in a moment to the Rambam. The reason why in general he's lengthier per Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, he tells us the secret to that at the end of his parish on Brachos. In the last parak, because you open up a typical non-Avos Masechta, Rambam will usually have a line or two per Mishnah, sometimes a couple of lines. It's rare that he goes on at length. He does digress at length at the end of the Maseches Brachos. And then at the end, he discusses a hashkafic topic. And then at the end, he says, I know that I've been uncharacteristically lengthy, but I never give up the chance. I never pass by the opportunity to teach something about Amun or Hashkafa. So that's very close to my heart. Whenever I have a chance to teach that, I will always take that opportunity. Even though the Rambam writes in several places, in letters and elsewhere, that he, in line with the Mishnah that we're looking at right now, that he says, if I could have written my one letter, he writes, if I could have written the entire Mishnah Torah, which is a compendium of Torah Shalpa, so if I could have squeezed into one parak, I wouldn't have written two. So he would rather be as mekatzer as possible. He says, but if the opportunity to teach Emuna, he will not pass that by. So that's why, in general, Pirkei Avos is full of Emuna and Hashkafa and Tikkun Amidos. So in general, he tends to be per Mishnah lengthier than in a typical Masechta, Halachic Masechta. And every once in a while, he's not just explaining the Mishnah, but taking the opportunity to step back and survey an entire topic. And that's what he does right here. And he doesn't open with questions on the Mishnah. He dives right into the topic of speech and different approaches to speech and different types of speech. And then at the end, when you're most of the way through the Mishnah, it turns right now, you realize that in developing the idea that he developed, he also has given us an approach to putting together the pieces of this Mishnah. So let's take a look. We'll read some of this inside and we'll survey some of this. The Rambam opens. He says, thinking about this Mishnah, what Rav Shmuel Gamliel has to tell us, He says it's already this idea is already encapsulated in a pasuk in Mishlei. Berov devar molyecht al pesha. If there are a lot of words, your sin will not be missing. What does that mean? He says rov devar miutarim vechatam. Most what people say are either excess or sinful. Commotion of erata, as we're about to explain, and when the Rambam is done saying up his categories, we'll appreciate the subtlety of the sentence that we just read. It says, Kasher Marbeha, does you have to realize not all speech is good? Not all speech is good. As a matter of fact, most of what people say is not necessarily good. So then, Kasher Marbeha, Adam Dvarav, Chotei Bechleit. If a person speaks too much, sooner or later, you're going to end up saying something inappropriate. If I talk, if I talk so much, if I'm not measured in the way I speak, it's highly unlikely that I'm not going to end up saying something, at least one word, that's inappropriate. And then he references the Mishnah later, Misimani Achachamim Mir Hadibur, Siyag L'Chachma Shtika. And being quiet is a passageway, is a way in to picking up Chachma. Okay. And he says, he talks about how it's a sign of refinement, and then he does something fascinating. In the next paragraph, he does something that he promised in his introduction to Pirkei Avos to do, and that is to quote broadly, both from Torah literature and from secular literature. His Amar B'Sefer HaMidos, the book of Midos, and as he quotes an ethical work of Kafach, in footnote number 81, is he's not really sure which one is being referenced here. It says in the Arabic literature at the time, there were plenty of ethical works. It all had very similar titles. So Rav Kafach, we've spoken in the past, Rav Kafach was the Gadol Hadar of the previous generation of Taimani Jewry, of the Jews of Yemen. He was one of the Talmidim, one of the early Talmidim of Rav Kook. And I think I may have mentioned in the past that it was his job of cook in his in when he founded Merkaz Harav, which he originated in the Yeshiva Merkazit. Cook had a great vision in terms of what he wanted the curriculum to look like. He really reimagined what a yeshiva curriculum ought to look like. And one of the pieces of that was to think creatively about what the Hashkafa, Machshava curriculum of the yeshiva would be. In a very, very thorough, 10 different schools of thought and Jewish philosophy, and he wanted Talmidim over the course of the years in yeshiva to really get a handle on that sort of diversity. And Rav Kafach describes in his diary that he was in this original circle of Talmidim, and instead of Cook had given him a particular job, whenever they were learning a sefer which was originally written in Arabic, like Chovos HaLevavos, or like Kuzri, or like the word writings of the Rambam, so Rav Kook would be reading from the Hebrew, and everyone had the Hebrew copy in front of them, with the exception of Rav Kafach, who had the Arabic original in front of him. And he would read along the Arabic quietly, and whenever there was a significant change, it was his job to raise his hand and point out that the original Arabic is different than the translation, and that's part of what inspired him to take on one of his life missions, was to do a fresh retranslation of many of the Arabic Sfarim of Rishonim in an attempt to get a more readable and more precise, more accurate translation. In this footnote, he says that the term the Rambam uses, adab, is pretty loose, and ethical work. He says it's one of the many. Rav Kafach familiarized himself with the Arabic, with the contemporary Arabic literature also. He says, he's not really sure which one it is. The Rambam presents, the Rambam promises at the beginning of the Parish and Avos that he will quote both Jewish and non-Jewish literature. He has a line there at the beginning, Kabel Sevis Misha Maro. He says, he's a strong believer, you have to accept truth wherever you find it. And we'll see echoes of that, a corollary to that later in this Mishnah too. But he puts it into play right here. Rambam actually writes that he will often choose to anonymize whom he's quoting, because he's worried that people will accept or reject ideas just based on the name. If you like the name, you'll assume it's correct. If you don't like the name, you'll just reject it without actually considering the idea. And he seems to imply, in particular, he knows that if he's quoting Greek thinkers, Arabic thinkers, many people will reject them out of hand. So he says, in general, just say, Chacham. a wise man. And then he said, you'll see, says if it's a good idea, it's a good idea. If it's not a good idea, then it's not. Here, though, he actually presents this as a foil to what he's going to present as a Torah view. So this is a unique feature here. The Amar B'Sefer HaMidos, Echad HaChachamim Nira Shemar B'Shtika, there was a wise man who was often quiet. Ashlayim Medabra El Ma'at Mod. He spoke very, very rarely spoke. Very laconic. Amruloma Duatam Abrilishtok. So they asked him, why are you so quiet? You rarely speak. Why are you so often quiet? So he goes on to develop this Chacham responds that there are four categories of speech. Basically, there are four logical possibilities: good, bad, both, and neither. He says, the Chelek Arishon is injurious speech. Dibur Shu Kulo Nezek. Cursing people, speaking in an unrefined way, things that are silly, that's number one. So that's just bad. Number two is when it's a mix. Nezek mitzad achad v'toels mitzad acher, where it's both helpful and hurtful. So he says, I'm going to praise someone, but someone else is going to, and he says, I want to get something out of someone, so I butter him up, so he feels great, but the other guy is hurt. So that's a mixed bag. The third group, he says, is neither. It's neither good nor bad, just meaningless. It says here, it's if you look in the Kafach edition, this is on page Reisha and Beis, page one, and the second column, 7-8 lines off the bottom. Hachelek Ashlishi, Dibur She'en Bo To'elas V'lo Nezek. Speech that is neither helpful nor hurtful. Kagon Rov Sipuri Ha'amon. Most of what most people talk about. Oh, how is this? How is the wall built? And let's talk about so and so's palace and how beautiful that building is and how well things are doing in some other country. Kiyotze Mizad Midvarim Shem Achel Moser. Things that are purposeless. He says, and so the Chacham says, Gam Hadibur Bechelek Hazeh Miutar Ve'en Bo Toelos. That's excess, no point. And finally comes category four. Devarim Shekulam Toelos. Things that are fully purposeful, things that are fully positive. To speak about something intellectual, to discuss Musar, or things that are relevant. Dibur Ha'adam, that are personally relevant. To talk business, to talk about work, things that are personally relevant. So here at the top of page Reisha and Gimel, wrapping up the words of this anonymous Chacham, anytime I hear something or I think about saying something, I categorize it in my mind. If it fits into quadrant four, then I'll say it. Otherwise not. So again, you sort of have this 2x2 matrix. Is it good? Is it helpful or not? Is it hurtful or not? So if it's hurtful or neutral or both helpful and hurtful, then I'll step away. Only if it's category four, it's purely positive, then I'll say it. Amru Bali Amidos, so this work, this ethical work, comments, his bonein ba'adam hazev chachmaso, look at this wise man. Hishmit shloshes revoy advarim, he left out 3/4 of what he could say, v'zu chachmashu ilias nehegba. And that's a wise approach. Ad kan divrei ha-anonymous sefer chachma. The Rambam actually takes him to task very in more than one way. Ani Omer says Rambam, but I say I disagree. Hadibur nechlak lefi chovas toroseinu chamisha chalakim. According to the chiyuvim of our Torah, speech is divided into 5 parts. So sort of the obvious thing is, it's going to be a 5-part categorization instead of 4. But and we'll see he definitely thinks about it differently, and he's going to think about it as a scale. Like a scale from 1 to 5, instead of a sort of a 2x2 matrix that this other anonymous Chacham had looked at it. But there are 2 more significant differences. And the first difference that strikes us right away is the language Rambam uses, L'fi Chovas Toroseinu. There was no sense of Chiyuv in this anonymous Arabic or Greek Chacham's approach. This is sort of a secular ethical approach. Is it good? Is it not good? Is it bad? Is it not bad? Is it injurious or helpful? The Rambam is introducing language of duty. The Rambam is introducing language of chiyuv toroseinu, of mitzvahs and averus, and but he but then, which is certainly comfortable and familiar idea, but he sets up a way of thinking about mitzvahs and averus in a way that stretches our way of thinking, and probably not just about dibur. The way he lays it out is we usually think of mitzvahs and averus. He says, but the truth is, mitzvahs and averus lie at two ends of a spectrum. There's mitzvahs and there's averus. And he says, category number one, here we are. Mitzuvabo muzhar alav miruchak ratzui urushos. That which I'm commanded to do, that which I'm forbidden to do, that which is pushed away, that which is desirable and neutral. Ram says, we need to think. So that's already a very important category of thinking. He's going to apply that scheme to speech. But it's worth thinking about that in general. Not everything that is mutter should one do. It's not just going to be a question, is it kosher or not? There'll be speech which is treif. And then there'll be speech which is absolute chiv. But in between, the Rambam says, and that's part of what the Mishnah is driving at, is it's not just a free-for-all. There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu has a Kadosh Baruch Hu in his Torah gives us moral gradations. So he says, let's work our way through these categories. He says, on the one hand, on the other hand, category one are mitzvahs. Okay, what am I mechuyev to speak about? Achelik Arishon. Here we are in near the beginning of the paragraph, in the first column of page Reishai and Gimel. Chelik Arishon hu ha-metzuveh bo, what am I commanded to do? Kriyas ha-Torah v'limuda ha-ayin v'peirusha. Reading the Torah, learning it, and being ma'ayin in its perish. That language should remind us of language we've seen in the Rambam's Hakdama to Perish HaMishnah. He talks about Torah Shavuch Sav and Torah Shavuch Peh. It talks about the Torah Shavuch Peh, that's the language he often uses. The perish is the core essence of the Torah Shavuch Peh, the basic explanation of each mitzvah. Says that's a mitzvah to study both Torah Shavuch Sav and Torah Shavuch Peh. Zu mitzvah saseh shin stavinu ba v'dibar tabam v'hi kimo kol ha-mitzvahs. I'd read those four words. How would you read those four words? He kimo kol ha-mitzvahs.
Speech is like any other mitzvah.
Yeah. It could be speech is like any other mitzvah. It could be that he's driving on the point about Talmud Torah. He probably is a reference to Torah. I see. He's saying, don't think that mitzvahs only include active mitzvahs. That if you have a verbal mitzvah, it's as much a mitzvah as any other. Yeah. Because where he's driving at, and that's the point we'll return to, where he's driving at in this categorization is to be able to make sense of Lamatsasi Laguf Tove Lashtika doesn't mean you always need to be quiet, the Rambam is going to develop. Unlike the anonymous Chacham, who, as was reported, was Marba Bishtika Shloya Medabra El Ma'at Mod, rarely spoke. The Rambam is going to use this categorization to explain the new. And the Mishnah says, Shtika is important. It depends what's shtika from which type of speech. Says Eli, as you're pointing down, he's saying, if it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. And a verbal mitzvah is as much a mitzvah as an active physical mitzvah. Rav Kafach, in his footnote 87, points out that he's not sure how to understand this, whether it just means it's as much a mitzvah as any other, or does it mean that it is connected kol mitzvahs. But who kamo kol mitzvahs means Talmud Torah is equal, is shkula connected kulam. What do you say, Seth? Or how does Rav Shelah translate it?
He has
which?
Oh, how does he translate it? But he has the same footnote as Zakir. He says, he kamo kol mitzvah, and he has the same two possibilities.
Ah, okay. There you go.
Can I ask a small question?
Only one?
Yeah. He says that is it Kriyat Torah, Limuda Va'ira. Basically, he doesn't say this is an example. I don't know why he doesn't say it's an example. He says, you know, Kagon, or because you could say Kriyat Shema and Tefillah and I don't know, and Mikra Bikurim and
the whole list of mitzvahs of speech. Right, the whole list, the beginning of the seventh paragraph of Soto.
Yeah, not to suggest you should list them all. I'm saying,
why isn't there a kagon? I'm not sure. That's a great question, especially since a couple lines later, when he gives examples of Isurim, he begins with Kagon. I'm not sure. That is a great... Maybe, except Rav Kafach has... you're going to have a hard time with that one, maybe. Rav Shailat also has no Kagon, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. That's a good question. Chelak Hasheni, and now on the other end, here he does have a Kagon. Here, what are you not allowed to speak? Asher Nasar v'huz harner olav, Kagon, Eidus Sheker, Kazav, Rechilus, Rigol, Gidufim, false testimony. So, like Rechilus, Lashon Hara, curses. The Chama Mikros Bator Morim Achelek Hazeh. So open up a Chumash, throughout, Chumash is riddled with references to forbidden speech. Uvechalal Zed Navlus HaPev Lashon Hara. And this also includes unrefined speech, talking dirty, Nivol Peh, and Lashon Hara. Now, I'm not sure what to do with the lack of the Kagon in the first Chelek, but I think I do notice a pattern here. What's curious is Ram already gave you a list, and then he has this sort of this like afterthought list. The Chalal, this also includes Nivol Peh, Lashon Hara. The question is, well, why isn't that together with the first list? I wonder whether the Rambam is alluding to something which he doesn't address here at length. He does address later in the Mishnah Torah. The end of this Mishnah, after he works his way through the different types of speech, he says, and now that we've spoken about this, I'd like to take a little time out to talk about Lashon Hara. And he gives us a rundown on some of the issues of Lashon Hara. This is at the end, page Reishayin Dalet, Reishayin Hay. He reviews the fact that the Lashon Hara is forbidden even if it's true, as long as you're putting inside saying something negative about someone else. If it's untrue, then it's Motzi Shemer. Even if it's true, it's still an Aver Lashon Hara. He reminds us that Avak Lashon Hara, sort of the peripheral types of Lashon Hara, include either where I didn't actually say anything, but I was hinting at something negative. But for that, he quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, as well as a situation where I didn't actually say anything negative, but I caused others. As I said something positive about someone in a context where you know other people are going to say, oh, well, he's not so great after all, X, Y, Z. So I evoked it. And then he closes that section with agados, different reference to many different agadotas that speak of how severe Lashon Hara is. But there's a piece that he doesn't speak about explicitly at the end of this Mishnah, which he does talk about, and actually is the centerpiece of his presentation in Sefer Hamada, the end of Hilchos Deos, the second last parak of Hilchos Deos, parak Vav is about different mitzvah shebe'er mechavero, a whole series of them. The last parak, parak Zayin, is almost exclusively about the Lashon Hara. And he says that there are four levels of to the Avera. The second level is Lashon Hara. He says, Avon Gadol means that the second level, very severe Avera, also including this lav, is Lashon Hara. That's Mesaper Begnus Chavero, Afli Pisha Amar Emes. That's right, level two. Then he goes on to say, if a person says something which is both bad and false, that's Mosi Shemra, that's level three. And then the worst of all, sounds like, is a Baal Lashon Hara, who doesn't just say Lashon Hara at once, but it sort of like shapes his personality. So the question, 1 second. So what's level one? What's level one? So listen to this. Ezehu Rachil. Is it the lav is Rechilus? That's the language of the Chumash. Let's say Rachil Avecha. What's a Rachil? Zeshu, despite the fact despite what the Kesef Mishnah says, listen to the language of the Rambam. Zeshu hu to'ein varim v'holech mizel azeh. He gathers, he carries words around and goes from one to another. Oh, kach amar ploni, kach shamati aploni. Afapishu omer emes, hareze macharis olam. Even though he's saying the truth, he's destroying the world. And then he goes on to say level two, which is worse, where he says something nasty about someone. So if you read the Ramsalon carefully, it seems like level one, the basic avera of Rechilos, isn't even anything negative. Negative, that's already levels two, three, and four. The basic avera of Oseach Rachel is just to be toin varm. Just to constantly gossip about other people, even if it's not bad, but just to spend your life talking about other people, that already, for the Rambam, it sounds like is a violation of a lav d'oraisa. Particularly if you say nasty things about people, that's all the more so, even on a one-time basis. But that notion that there's a core lav of rechilus and then lashon hara is sort of an add-on, that may be what the Rambam is driving at here. As I said, rechilus, it could be that the first list were things that appear as psu in the Torah Shebichsav. Eidus Sheker and Rechilas and so on and so forth. Then Bechlalze, the Torah Shal Peh includes Nivul Peh, which is a Sugya beginning of Pesachim, which is an Aveira, but not a specific Lav in the Chumash, and Lashon Hara, which also is an add-on to the core Lav of Rechilas. So those are the two extremes. But then Rama goes on to say that that there's also that which is better left unsaid, meruchak, pushed away, not avera, but pushed away. There's that which is advisable to say, but not required, ratzoi. And finally, in the middle, is reshus, neutral. So what fits into these categories is fascinating. What fits into that which is meruchak, so category number two, what fits into that which is meruchak, is speech that encourages bad midos. That we understand, not there, but certainly to encourage people to be impatient and encourage people to have a temper, that sounds like it's not great. What's fascinating is the first type of a dibur meruchak for the Rambam is where he is things which are meaningless, things which are unimportant, just to talk about stuff where there's no toelos. So zed nikra itzal chachamim sicha betela. That's called Sicha B'Tela, empty speech. HaChasidim Mishtadlim Ma'od L'Hisrachek Midvarim Eila. The Chasidim, people who are Midachtikim, who are Machmirim, try to avoid that. It's not Aveira, it's not forbidden, but it's inadvisable. So that's Lefnim Mishur Sadin, is to move, to shift oneself over time away from Sicha B'Tela. Ratzui, which is category four, is not something which isn't the Chiv to say, but he says, either discussing, talks about Musar, Limud HaMusar as category four, Limud HaMusar as Ratzud, things that, a conversation that will encourage good midos, a conversation that will discourage bad midos. And he has a line at the bottom of the column, Lo'eros HaNefesh Lazeh B'Nu'umim U'Veshirim, to inspire oneself to be better with speeches or conversation as well as the shirim. It's actually something he goes on to talk about later in the Mishnah, that he says you have to realize that this categorization by content is relevant not only to prose, but also to poetry and to song. He says sometimes people think that if it's in Hebrew, it's great. If it's English, it's terrible. And he says he thinks that, he says he's seen Talmid Chacham make that mistake. He thinks that sichlus muchletus is absolutely absurd. You have to look at content. Just because it's Hebrew doesn't make it better. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say, if there are two songs which are nasty and one is Hebrew, the Hebrew one is worse because Lashon HaKodesh is meant to be used for holy things and you're violating Kedushas HaSafa by using Hebrew for something unrefined. It talks about the biographies of Tzadikim as being part of the Dibur HaRatzoi. And then finally, he says, Rishus, the neutral, is personal needs, business needs. It's not positive, it's not negative. You got to make a living. So it said at that point, you have the chance to, you can decide you want to talk about more, you want to talk about less, spend more time talking shop, spend less time talking shop. That's absolutely neutral. So now we're ready to put the pieces together. Having laid out this framework for thinking, again, it's a framework not just for thinking about speech, framework for thinking about sort of Kodesh Baruch Hu's expectations for us, b'machshava, b'masa, b'divur. Because there are things which are absolutely us. There are things which are absolutely mitzvah. And then in between, there are gradations as well. So he says, what's the Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah is not talking about that which is forbidden or that which is meruchak. That's not a question of speaking less. That's, one should try not to speak at all. He says, in the middle of the second paragraph, page Reish Ayin Gimel, He says in the middle category, the fifth category of Devar Roshos, Nivchala Adam Mira Divar. It will be better to speak less. And why? And that takes us back, and that's Lo Matzasi Laguf Elashtika. Why is that? As unlike this anonymous Chacham who barely spoke, Rambam says in the positive chalakim, either that which is absolutely a mitzvah, that which is ratzui, he says you should speak as much as you want. It's great to spend more time learning Torah, spend more time in productive conversations. With two caveats, which we'll come to. But if you go back to opening line of the Rambam, it's all fits back, it all packs back in. He says, Rova dvar miyutarim vachatam. Most of what people speak is either miyutar, just rishus, or echet. And if you have lengthy conversations, even if they're mostly neutral, you'll end up, something forbidden will end up making its way in. So unless what I'm saying is a mitzvah, it needs to be measured. And that's the closing line of the Mishnah, B'chol Amar B'dvar Mevichet. That's exactly what he said in the beginning of the parish. If you talk too much, it's unlikely, and it's not Divrei Mitzvah or Dvar Mitzuyim, sooner or later, Chet will make its way in. Now, how does Lo HaMedrash Hu HaIkar El HaMasa fit in? It sounds like generally, you know, it's better to act than to speak. Rambam says, that's one of the caveats, that's really the primary caveat on positive conversation. Positive conversation, Lo HaMedrash Hu HaIkar El HaMasa. He says, Rambam says, even in teaching Torah, Rav was machmir to teach Talmid of B'derech Katzara, but the main caveat, Rambam says, is you're going to speak about good things, you have to make sure, a person has to make sure that his actions correspond to what he's saying. So that's the main caveat, the main limitation on Divrei Chiyuv or Dvar Mitzuyim, is if I'm not acting in line with what I'm saying, they bear I not say. And he says, that's Pshat in the Mishnah. Lo HaMedrash Hu HaIkar El HaMasa. If my Maisim don't correspond, there should be no Medrash. The Rambam presents us again with this categorization, a categorization rooted in Ritzon Hashem, unlike the anonymous Chacham, and a categorization that speaks to nuance in terms of different gradations. And we had a chance to think about the Rambam's approach to Lashon Hara versus Rechilas, and the Rambam's category of Sicha Betela, of pointless conversation, as opposed to something either which is of Torah or of Midos content, or of substantive intellectual substance. It says the things that are Dvarim Shel Mabakach are really Sicha Betela, that would be Dvarim, not Asurim, but Dvarim Meruchakim. I close with one idea from Rabbeinu Bachaya. Rabbeinu Bachaya suggests an alternative approach to understanding in what way is shtika necessarily a good thing. So we saw the Rambam's approach was, well, it depends, you know, shtika from which category of speech. The Rabbeinu Bachaya seems to suggest that shtika might mean, he quotes the Rambam, they seem to also suggest maybe shtika doesn't just mean being quiet as opposed to speaking, it means being quiet in response to someone else. Shtika means quietly listening. Because he talks about shtika specifically. He says, certainly if a person is giving me a critique, constructive criticism, that's a common theme in Mishlei, to listen quietly, to accept tochacha. And he says also, this is a great mala the Chacham speak about, is a person can absorb an insult without insulting back. So if I can be shosek in the sense of listening quietly, not responding, so that's that. And it's in that situation that we say, to be able to listen quietly, not just to be quiet as opposed to speaking, to be able to take things in, to be able to listen, let me test the guftov, mishtika, mishkach.